إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to begin a short course in al-aqidah and al-manhaj, which is taken from one of the brief essays of al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah. And that essay, it is entitled al-usul al-sitta, al-usul al-sitta, the six fundamentals. And although this particular essay is not as well known as some of the other books of al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, indeed it is of importance and of great significance for the Muslims wherever they may be. This book, Al-Usul Al-Sitta, though it is very brief, we have been fortunate to find a sharh which is also relatively brief, explaining some of the points that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah intended to express in this brief essay. Before beginning the reading of the book, I would like to just quickly summarize what has been written concerning the biography, one of the brief biographies of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He is Al-Imam al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman ibn Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Ahmed ibn Rashid ibn Buraid ibn Muhammad ibn Mushrif ibn Umar min Awhaba Bani Tamim. Yani he is from one of the branches of the tribe Bani Tamim. He was born in the land of Uyayna in the year 1115 of the Hijri calendar. 1115 of the Hijri calendar. To a family of knowledge and honor, a religious family. His father was a great scholar, and so likewise was his grandfather, was one of the biggest scholars of his time. He memorized the Quran before reaching the age of puberty, approximately 10 years of age, and he studied fiqh until he had memorized a good portion of it. And his memory, his ability to memorize, amazed his father. And indeed, he had read many of the books of tafsir and hadith and was eager in seeking knowledge day and night and in memorizing the texts of many of the books of the Islamic sciences, in different sciences. And he traveled in search of knowledge to the different areas of Najd, the area that he was living in, and as well he went to Mecca and he studied with the scholars there, and also traveled to Al-Madina and Nabawiyyah, the city of the Prophet ﷺ, and studied with the scholars of Medina, including the great scholar Al-Allama al-Shaykh Abdullah ibn Ibrahim al-Shammari, and his son, the son of Shaykh Abdullah ibn Ibrahim, the great scholar of fara'id or inheritance, Shaykh Ibrahim al-Shammari. And he also studied with the great scholar Sheikh Muhammad Hayat al-Sindi, from whom he learned the science of hadith and the narratives of hadith, and he was given ijazah or permission to narrate and to teach al-Ummahat, yani the main books of hadith. Indeed, he had been given a great understanding and intelligence, and he had much knowledge due to his reading and research and writing. And he used to write down whatever he came across of beneficial matters during his reading and during his research, and he never became tired of writing. Indeed, he has written out by hand many of the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, and those makhtutat or handwritten manuscripts that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has written by hand. Many of them still remain in the museums. When he died, or when his father died, he began to openly call to al-da'wah al-salafiyyah, yani calling to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rebuking and refuting the evil that was around him, and opposing the people of bid'ah and others of the mushrikeen, yani those who were practicing shirk. And he was also supported by the rulers of that time of Ali Saud, who strengthened him and helped his message to spread. Of the books that he has written, there are many from amongst them. The most famous of those books is that which we have studied previously. It is Kitab al-Tawheed, and likewise Kashf al-Shubahat, Al-Kaba'ir, the Major Sins, the Mukhtasar of Zad al-Ma'ad, and so many other books. He died in the year 1206. Rahimahullah, may Allah reward him for the benefit he has given to Islam and the Muslims. Indeed, Allah is the one who hears and who is able to answer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabiya Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And due to lack of time, I have summarized to a great extent the biography that has been given here. However, we have previously given his biography in a more complete form in the beginning of the course of Kitab al-Tawheed when we began that book. It was also my intention to give a brief biography of the Sharih, that is the one who has explained this book, Al-Usul, Al-Sitta. And in fact, I have written out sort of a summary of the biography of the explainer of Usul al-Sitta, that is Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen is well known, perhaps to most of us. He was born in the city of Unayza, in the area of Qasim, on the 27th of Ramadan in the year 1347. And which is equivalent in the Western calendar, on the Gregorian calendar, to 1926. He was born also to a religious family, and he received his education from many of the prominent scholars, like his first and main sheikh, Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shankiti, the great scholar of tafsir of our era, and also his second main sheikh, Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. For the sake of time, and again I will summarize his biography, and we have already mentioned his biography previously in the introduction to his explanation of Lumat al-Itiqad, and also in the explanation of his book Minhaj Ahl al-Sunnah fil Aqeedah wal-Amal. So for the sake of time, we will just say that he had many students inside Saudi Arabia and from outside Saudi Arabia, and he was well known for his unique style of interpretation and explanation of religious issues, and especially his ijtihad and qiyas, and in the matters of usul al-deen, yani usul al-fiqh and usul al-deen, in matters of aqidah and in matters of fiqh. And he was also well known for his giving religious verdicts based on the Quran and Sunnah, even if they differed with his madhab, with the madhab of al-Hanabila, the madhab of al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. And he used to make his fatwa based on the evidence that he knew from the Quran and Sunnah, even if it differed with that which was found in his madhab. He taught at the Jamiat al-Imam Muhammad ibn Saud Islamic University in Qasim, and he was a member of the senior scholars of Saudi Arabia and the Imam Khatib of the Grand Masjid in the city of Hunayza. And he died in Mecca on the 15th of Shawwal 1421, yani in the year 2001 at the age of 74. Allah's mercy and favor be showered upon him. Both Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, who has written this brief essay, Al-Usul al-Sitta, as well as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, who has given us a brief explanation, are well-known scholars. However, it is of the habit, it is from the custom of the people of knowledge to present something of the biography of those who we take our knowledge from so that we will know who we are taking from. Al-Usul al-Sitta, it begins, قال المؤلف شيخ الإسلام, يعني the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, said, beginning this book, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he began with the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and he says, من أعجب العجاب, من أعجب العجاب, of the most amazing of matters, the most amazing of those things that are amazing. وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب ستة الأصول. That of the most amazing of matters and the greatest of the ayat or the signs that indicate the qudra, the power of al-malik, al-ghallab, the king, the one who is the overcomer, the conqueror, the vanquisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of the greatest signs that indicate his power are six fundamentals. Sittatu usul. Six fundamentals. Bayyanaha Allah ta'ala bayyanan wadihan. لِلْعَوَامِ فَوْقَ مَا يَظُنُّ الظَّانُونَ. These six fundamentals, he said, that Allah the Most High has made them clear. بَيَّنَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيَّانًا وَاضِحًا. And he has made them crystal clear. A bayan after which there is no need for any further clarification. لِلْعَوَامِ. He has made them crystal clear for the common masses of people. Not only for the scholars, but the common man should be able to understand it. These matters, these six fundamentals are matters that have been made crystal clear in the Qur'an. فَوْقَ مَا يَظُنُّ الظَّانُونَ. Beyond what anyone could imagine, the clarity of these matters. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ هَذَا غَلِطَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَا الْعَالَمِ وَعُقَلَى بَنِي آدَمِ إِلَّا أَقَلُّ الْقَلِيلِ. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these matters crystal clear in the Qur'an, by clear text, innumerable text, in different ways, after He has made it clear, so that the common people could understand it, then after this, غَلِطَ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَاءَ الْعَالَمِ. Many of the most intelligent of the people in the world, وَعُقَلَى بَنِي آدَمْ, and the most rational or reasonable or intellectual of the children of Adam, of the human beings, غَلَتَ فِيهَا, they have erred in it. After Allah made it crystal clear that the common masses can understand it, then the most intelligent and intellectual of Bani Adam, of the people of the earth, of humanity, have erred in it. They have deviated in it. إِلَّا أَقَلُّ الْقَلِيلُ. Except that which is less than a little. Yani, not only a few, but less than a few. Only a few have not heard in it. This is indeed, alaykum as-salam, أعجب العجاب. It is indeed an amazing matter. Here, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, gives an explanation of the first opening words of Shaykh Muhammad, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He says, he's saying, Bismillah. And this is a linguistic explanation, which is a little difficult to explain. However, I will attempt to explain it. And perhaps it will be understood. He said that al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab begins with the word, Bismillah. He said the author begin his book with the Basmala, the word of Bismillah, following the book of Allah. the mighty and the majestic, for indeed it began with Bismillah. Yani the Quran began with Bismillah. And following also the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for indeed he used to begin with his writings and his letters with the Basmala. He used to open the letters and writings that he wrote with these words, Bismillah. Then he gives the grammatical explanation of this expression, Bismillah, al-jar wal-majroor, yani the preposition in and the noun ism, Bismi Allah. He said that this Bismillah, he said that it is connected or it is related to a fi'l, a verb which is deleted. And it is also coming later at the end of the expression, and it is related or it is relevant or it is suitable for the circumstance of what is being expressed here. The meaning of all of this is that we understand from this expression Bismillah that its meaning is Bismillah Aktubu. Yani the verb has been deleted and it came after and it is suitable to what he is saying here. He means to say Bismillah, yani in the name of Allah I begin writing what I am going to write, writing this book. And he said, Shaykh Muhammad says that I give this estimate, the implied meaning of this Bismillah as being a verb, yani instead of a noun, because the asl of all actions are verbs. And here he is doing an action in the name of Allah. And he said, I have estimated it to be the verb to come after for two benefits. The first of them is at-tabarruk, yani seeking the blessing of beginning with the name of Allah. Instead of saying, Aktubu Bismillah, that I begin writing in the name of Allah, he said it is preferable to say Bismillah Aktubu, mentioning the name of Allah first, saying in the name of Allah, I write. And the second benefit is ifadat al-hasr, that is restricting or limiting the meaning, because whenever the preposition, yani Bismillah, this type of expression precedes that which it is related to, then we understand its meaning to be limited. Yani if he said Aktubu Bismillah instead of saying Bismillah Aktubu, the meaning would not be as confined. When you say Bismillah Aktubu, it means that you are writing in the name of Allah and in the name of Allah alone. If you said Aktubu Bismillah, then it's possible that you are writing in the name of Allah and also in the name of someone or something else. So he said it restricts the meaning to what is intended here. He said that I said it is appropriate or suitable, yani the verb that he has estimated to be here, aktubu, because if the verb that he places here is related to the meaning of the sentence, in that case, yani it will be more indicative of what is intended. He means to say, instead of saying Bismillah nabtadi'u, that in the name of Allah we begin, it is better to say Bismillah aktubu, because actually what he intends here is writing, not just beginning. If you said in the name of Allah I begin, one will not know what you are beginning. But if you say in the name of Allah I read, or in the name of Allah I write, then it is understood exactly what you are doing in the name of Allah. Then he also gives some discussion concerning the expression Allah, lafz al-jalala. He said it is a proper noun for al-bari, that is Allah the creator. And it is a name that all other names come behind or follow. And it precedes other names, and every other name has to follow it, and it does not follow any other name. And then he gives an ayah of the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, where it appears as though the name of Allah is following other names. And then he explains yani the grammatical structure of this sentence, showing how even though Allah's name came after Al-Aziz Al-Hamid, he said that the meaning of it is that here in this case it is not a sifa, yani following the other names, but it is in fact Atif Bayan, yani Allah came after the name Al-Aziz Al-Hamid in Surah Ibrahim, verses 1 and 2. It came after them just to clarify who is intended by Al-Aziz, Al-Hamid, but it is not following them as a sifa. Then he explains also Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and in brief, the meaning of what he said here is that Ar-Rahman, it is one of the names that is exclusive for Allah alone, and it is not applied to anyone other than Him. Ar-Rahman, it is exclusive to Allah alone, and its meaning is Al-Muttasif Bir-Rahma Al-Wasiya, that He is the one who is described with the rahmah that is unlimited, that it is, that is expansive. And ar-Rahim, it is a name that is used for Allah as well as other than Allah, and its meaning is Hu ar-Rahma al-Wasila, yani he is the one who possesses the rahmah that extends to others. So he says here that ar-Rahman, it is the one who possesses the rahmah that is extensive, and ar-Rahim is the one who possesses the rahmah that extends to others. And when these two names come together, then they take on this meaning. Ar-Rahim, it means the one who extends his rahmah to whomever he wills of his servants. And Ar-Rahman, it means the one whose rahmah or mercy is extensive. And he gave here, in reference to Ar-Rahim, the ayat in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 21, يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُقْلَبُونَ, that he is the one who punishes whomever he wills, and he grants his mercy to whomever he wills, and he is, and you return to him. He is the one to whom you return. Then he begins with the first statement after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, مِنْ أَعْجَبْ الْعَجَابِ, that of the most amazing of matters and the greatest of signs that indicate the qudra or the power of the king, al-Malik al-Ghallab, are sitta usool, six matters or six fundamentals. He says the Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, had given great care and attention to summarize essays, rasail al-mukhtasara, small essays, which could be understood by the common person as well as the student of knowledge. And from amongst these essays is this one, the six great fundamentals. The first of them is al-ikhlas, وَبَيَانُ دِدِّهِ وَهُوَ الشِّرْكِ, yani the first of the fundamental issues, the sixth, is al-ikhlas. And here he means by ikhlas al-tawheed. Tawheed and ibadah, the worship of Allah alone, and the opposite of it, that is al-shirk. The second of them is al-ijtima' fi-d-deen, coming together and uniting, that the Muslims should be ummatan wahida, they should be one ummah, they are one brotherhood, that they should come together. وَالنَّحِي عَنَ التَّفَرُّقِ فِيهِ, and the prohibition of separation and division in the deen of Allah. This is the second principle. The third principle is السَّمُ وَطَعَ لِوُلَاتِ الْأَمْرِ, hearing and obeying those in authority from amongst the Muslims, those who are in authority over the Muslims, hearing and obeying them. And the fourth of those issues is بَيَانَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْعُلَمَاءُ وَالْفِقْهُ وَالْفُقَهَاءُ وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, clarification of knowledge and the scholars, the people of knowledge, and fiqh, and the scholars of fiqh, and those who resemble them, or who imitate them, but are not from amongst them. And this is also an important issue, to know who are the real scholars, and who are resembling them, or imitating them, but are not from them. The fifth issue is clarification of who are the awliya of Allah, yani the true awliya of Allah, not just those who pretend, or who appear to do supernatural or miraculous deeds, but those who are truly the awliya of Allah are those who have iman and taqwa. And the last of the fundamental issues is the refutation of the doubt, which a shaitan has placed in front of the people, and it is the abandonment of the Qur'an and Sunnah. Yani abandoning the Qur'an and Sunnah to follow opinions and desires, to follow the opinions of whoever, whether it is of scholars or other than scholars, rulers or leaders, following the opinions that are in contradiction and are not in agreement with the Qur'an and Sunnah, abandoning the Qur'an and Sunnah for following some opinions of the people and our desires. He said that these fundamentals are very important and deserve attention, and we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in explaining them and making comments upon them with whatever Allah has made easy for us. Al-usul al-awwal, the first fundamental that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has given, it is ikhlas al-deen lillahi ta'ala wahdahu la sharika lah. Ikhlas al-deen, yani making the deen purely for Allah alone. Here is by ikhlas, he means making the deen for Allah alone, means worship. Making the worship for Allah alone. Not worshipping or giving any type of worship to other than Allah. La sharika lahu, and not joining anyone as an associate or a partner with Allah in this deen or in this ibadah that belongs to Allah alone. Ikhlas al-deen lillah, it means tawheed al-ibadah. singling out Allah for worship alone without having any partner. وَبَيَانُ دِدِّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ. And clarification of the opposite of ikhlas al-deen lillah. The opposite of it is a shirk billah, associating something or someone as an equal, a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first principle, ikhlas al-deen for Allah, and clarification of the opposite of it, that is a shirk. وَكَوْنَ أَكْثَرُ Qur'an فِي بَيَانْ هَذَا الْعَصْرِ. And the fact that most of the Qur'an is concerned with clarification of this principle. Most of the Qur'an is dealing with this matter alone. Yani the fact that worship belongs to Allah alone, and the warning against the opposite of it, offering it to other than Allah. The Qur'an deals mostly with this principle. مِنْ وُجُوْ شَتَّى. From different and diverse perspectives. Not in one way, but in many ways. بِكَلَامٍ يَفْحَمُهُ أَبْلَدُ الْعَامَ. With speech. The Qur'an clarifies this issue from different perspectives with speech that is understood by the most stupid or the most ignorant of the common masses. And the person who is not considered to be intelligent can understand it. ثُمَّ لَمَّا صَارَ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا صَارَ. Then when most of the ummah fell into, or when they reached the condition that they reached, meaning being far away from the understanding of the deen, and far away from practicing or implementing the deen properly. When most of the ummah fell into this condition, or reached that state, أَظْهَرَ لَهُمْ الشَّيْطَانِ الإخلاص في صورة تنقص الصالحين والتقصير في حقوقهم. At that time, Shaytan, لعنة الله عليه, he made the إخلاص, يعني the توحيد of عبادة for Allah alone, he made it to appear in the shape or in the form as though the one who worships Allah alone, it is تَنَقُّصْ الصَّالِحِينَ. It is as though that one has belittled or lowered the status of the righteous. Yani the one who refused to worship the saints or those who are in the grave, for the exclusive worship of Allah alone, Shaytan made the people think that this worshiping Allah alone and not offering worship to other than Allah, whether it is sacrifice or supplication or love or whatever, he said he made it to appear in the form or in the shape as though it is تَنَقُّصْ الصَّالِحِينَ, belittling or lowering the status of the righteous. وَالتَّقْصِيرْ فِي حُقُوقِهِمْ. And falling short in fulfilling their rights. The rights that the righteous, the صالحين, or the awliya of Allah are entitled to. It is as though whoever doesn't worship them, or whoever doesn't call on them, or whoever doesn't trust or hope or rely upon them, but relies upon Allah alone, it is as though he has fallen short in fulfilling the rights of the Salihin. This is the image or the picture that Shaytan has given to the Muslims when they reach that condition. And likewise, وَأَظْهَرَ لَهُمَ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ فِي سُورَةِ مَحَبَّةِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَتْبَعِهِمْ. And likewise, he has made the shirk of Allah, making shirk with Allah, he has made it to appear in the form as though the one who falls into shirk, who practices shirk, who worships, gives any type of worship to other than Allah, he has made it to appear in a shape or in a form as though this is in fact not shirk, but it is love of the righteous. Yani if you call on the so-called salihin or the awliya of Allah, or if you make sacrifice to them, or if you put your hope in them, or if you rely upon them, he made this, which is in fact shirk, he made it appear as though it is mahabba, that it is really, truly love of the salihin and the awliya of Allah and their followers. This is indeed a great principle that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has given here, and if it is understood, it will clarify that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have made clear in the Quran and the authentic sunnah, by which has been abandoned by too many, if not most of the Muslims in the world today. This is the principle that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has given, and the sharh of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his sharh, he said, the statement, إخلاص الدين لله تعالى وحده لا شريك له, that making the deen purely for Allah alone without having any partners in that worship that is given to Allah, he said that the meaning of this إخلاص, al-إخلاص لله, its meaning أن يقصد المرء بإبادته التقرب إلى الله تعالى والتوصل إلى دار كرامته. يعني the meaning of إخلاص لله, it means that a person should intend by his worship, he should intend to get near to Allah. He should have as his intention in any worship that he does, his intention should be purely doing it to get near to Allah and to reach the place that Allah has made for those who He has honored. The place of honor, that is Al-Jannah. And the way to do this, it is that the servant, بأن يكون العبد مخلصا لله تعالى في قصده. يعني that the person should be pure and sincere for Allah in his qasd, in his niyyah, in his intention, it should be purely for Allah alone. يعني whatever a person does, he should make sure that his intention is purely for Allah alone. مخلصا لله في محبته. And he should be sincere and purely, his love should be purely for Allah alone. ومخلصا لله تعالى في تعظيمه. And he should also be مخلص or sincere in his ta'zeem of Allah alone. يعني his glorification and exaltation and honoring of Allah alone. And he should not honor anything with the honor that belongs to Allah. For indeed Allah, He is Al-Ali Al-Azim. He is the supreme one whose honor is supreme and his greatness is supreme and his glorification is supreme and far above all others. And likewise the love of Allah, it means the love that belongs to Allah alone. Pure love, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. That they are from amongst the people, those who take andad, equals with Allah. They love them like the love of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe, they are more severe in their love of Allah. Because their love is not mixed with love of the idols or the associates and love of Allah together. But their love is purely for Allah alone. Therefore, the believer, he should be mukhlis in his love of Allah. And he should be mukhlis in his ta'zeem or glorification of Allah. And he should be mukhlis in his intention, in his qasd, in his niyyah. Because indeed, actions are judged according to intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And we have not been commanded, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They have not been commanded except to be mukhlis in the deen for Allah alone, to make the deen, that is the ibadah, for Allah alone. Then he said, مُخْلِصًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي ظَاهِرِهِ وَبَاطِنِهِ. And he should be sincere to Allah in his outer appearance as well as inwardly. يعني openly and secretly. Inwardly and outwardly. There are those who appear to be sincere for Allah, but inside it is something else. And this is unacceptable, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what is hidden inside. And there are those who don't show outwardly any sincerity for Allah, but they say they have sincerity in their hearts. And this is also rejected. It is also rejected. And Allah knows what's in the heart. But indeed, a person must show outwardly obedience and submission to Allah alone, and they must also be sincere in their inner being, in obedience to Allah and submission to Him. وَلَا يَبْتَغِي بِعِبَادَتِهِ إِلَّا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْوُصُولِ إِلَى دَارِ كَرَامَتِهِ. And he should not seek, or she should not seek, the true believer should not seek in their worship. And here he makes clear that he means by إخلاص الدين لله, he means al-ibadah. Because after all of this he said, and he should not seek through his ibadah, anything except the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reaching the place of honor that Allah has prepared for the believers, that is Al-Jannah. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 verse 162 and 163, قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُقِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, inna salati, my prayers, wa nusuki, and my sacrifice, meaning, sacrifice here, meaning the sacrifice that we make for Allah, sacrificing animals, that it is for Allah alone as an act of ibadah. Wa mahyaya wa mamati, and my living, the whole of my life and my dying, it is for Allah, the Lord of the world, and He has no partner in that. It is purely for Him alone, and with this I am commanded, and I am the first of the Muslimin, those who submit themselves to Allah alone. Likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Yani in Surah Az-Zumr, chapter 39, verse 54, that one should turn back to Allah in repentance and in obedience, al-inaba. It means turning back to Allah in repentance and also doing acts of obedience. وَأَسْلِمُ لَهُ and submit oneself wholly and totally to Him alone, that is Allah. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 163, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And these ayats are clear. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ that your Lord, your God, the one that is worshipped, He is one. He is one. There is no other one that deserves to be worshipped except Him. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ there is no one that deserves to be worshipped except Him. الرحمن الرحيم. In the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 34. فَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَلَهُ أَسْلِمُوا And your God, the one that deserves to be worshipped, He is one God. فَلَهُ أَسْلِمُوا Therefore submit and surrender yourself to Him. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all of the messengers with this same message. As He said also in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 25. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِ يعني, And we have not sent before you, before the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, any messenger, except that we have revealed to him, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except I, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاعْبُدُونِ Therefore worship me alone, يعني التوحيد establishing the worship for Allah alone. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this clear in his book, as the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said, مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى بِكَلَامٍ يَفْحَمُهُ أَبْلَدُ الْأَعْمَى يعني, he has made it clear from different perspectives, in different ways, with speech that is understood by the most ignorant of the people. And also the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made this clear, as he has come with the tahqiq of at-tawheed, yani the realization or the achievement of at-tawheed, wa ikhlasihi, and making it sincere, yani the ibadah for Allah alone, wa takhlisihi min kulli sha'iba, and to purify the tawheed from anything that might defile it, or blemish it, or stain it, or defect it, or make a defect in it, wa saddi kulli tariq yumkin an yusila ila salmi hadha at-tawheed aw id'afi, and also closing every way or every road that it's possible for some defect or breach or break to enter into this tawheed, or that it might be weakened. To the extent, as it is reported in an authentic hadith, that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said to him, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ It is as Allah has willed, as Allah has willed and as you will. وَشِئْتَ He said, the Prophet ﷺ responded to him, أَجْعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا Have you made me as a nid, as an equal with Allah? Have you made me as an associate with Allah? He said, بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ But indeed you should say it is the will of Allah alone. Here the Prophet ﷺ rejected what that man said, because he has joined the Mashiach, the will of Allah, with the Mashiach of the Prophet ﷺ by a letter in Arabic, wow, which indicates equality between two things. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ Yani as though the will of Allah and the will of the Prophet ﷺ are equal. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, he considered this as though that person has made him as a nid, as an equal, as an associate with Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. And from this also, the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ prohibited swearing by other than Allah, الْحَلَفْ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ And he has made this swearing by other than Allah as a form of shirk. The Prophet ﷺ considered it as shirk. And he said in the authentic hadith, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ That whoever swears by other than Allah, then indeed he has disbelieved or he has fallen into shirk. And this is because swearing by other than Allah, it is a form of ta'zeem, glorification or exaltation of the one who is sworn upon with in a way that, yani it is ta'zeem or exaltation of that person in a way that belongs only to Allah the Mighty. Does it? No one should be glorified in this way. And when a group of people, a delegation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is recorded in authentic hadith, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Khayrana, Wa Ibn Khayrina, O Messenger of Allah, what they have said is true. Ya Khayrana, O the best of us, Wa Ibn Khayrina, and the best, and the son of the best of us. وسيدنا وابن سيدنا, and our master, our leader, and the son of our master and our leader. The Prophet ﷺ, from these words that they said, he responded to them, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قُولُوا بِقَوْلِكُمْ, say, O people, say what you have said. وَلَا يَسْتَحْوِيَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ, but don't let shaitan drag for you, and he caused you to incline towards your desires, and going beyond the bounds in exaggeration in praising me, or in praising anyone. Yani, if it is not allowed to praise the Prophet ﷺ in this way, then what about those who are less than him, and everyone is less than him? وَلَا يَسْتَحْوِيَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ, don't let shaitan cause you to go beyond the bounds, to go to the extreme in praising. أَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ, I am Muhammad, عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, I am Muhammad, the slave of Allah and his messenger. Yani the abd of Allah, showing that Allah deserves to be worshipped, but indeed he has also been given the characteristic of الرسالة, he is a messenger. مَا أُحِبُّ أَن تَرَفَعُونِي فَوْقَ مَنْزِلَةِ الَّتِي أَنْزَلَنِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, he said, I don't like that you should raise me up above the station that Allah the Mighty and the Majestic has given to me. Yani what is his station? Al-ubudiyya wa risala, slavery, servitude to Allah and a messenger. Indeed, the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, has given a chapter in his book, Kitab al-Tawheed, and it is at the end of the book. It was next to the last chapter that we have taken in Kitab al-Tawheed. He entitled it, مَا جَعَى فِي حِمَايَةِ الْمُصْطَفَى صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ هِمَ التَّوْهِيدِ وَسَدِّهِ تُرُقِ الشِّرْكِ, yani what has been narrated, the report that have come concerning the attention, the protective yani nature of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم المصطفى, in protecting him at Tawheed, yani that which surrounds the Tawheed, the sanctuary that is around the Tawheed. The Prophet ﷺ went to the extent of forbidding anything, of even getting near to the Tawheed by protecting that which surrounds it before it could actually reach the core of the Tawheed and closing every way that leads to shirk. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, just as He has made clear al-ikhlas, yani al-Tawheed and the ibadah for Allah alone, just as He has made it clear. Likewise, He has made clear the opposite of it, that is a shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4, verse 116, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ, that indeed Allah does not forgive that anyone practices shirk with Him, that they associate anything with Him, or declare anything to be an equal to Him, or a sharer, or a partner in that which is of His exclusive right. Allah doesn't forgive shirk. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, but He forgives whatever is less than that. مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ, whatever is less than shirk. And any sin, every sin is less than shirk. And Allah forgives any sin that's less than shirk, لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, for whoever He wills, He might forgive. But as for shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive shirk. Also the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 36, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and worship Allah, it is a command, al-amr, fi'l amr, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ, worship Allah, yani worship Allah alone, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and don't associate anything with Him, yani of ibadah, don't associate anything with Him in that ibadah that you are giving to Him. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 36, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, and we have sent, we have raised up a mission in every ummah, in every nation, a messenger, أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, that you should worship Allah. And this is also a command to worship Allah. وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, and the prohibition of worshipping the taghut, that is all false gods, anything that is worshipped other than Allah. And the ayahs concerning this matter are many, and likewise the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recorded in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Jabir, مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهِ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that whoever meets Allah without worshipping anything with Him, then he will enter the paradise. وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ, and whoever meets Him, يعني on يوم القيامة, while he has associated something with Allah in worship, then he will enter the fire. Here the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, in his sharh, he says that a shirk is of two types. The scholars have divided shirk into different types. And here he mentions two of them, that is major shirk and minor shirk. However, some of the scholars also divided shirk into three divisions, according to the divisions of al-Tawheed, shirk in al-Rububiyyah, in the Lordship of Allah, shirk in al-Ubudiyyah, in the worship of Allah, and shirk in asma wa sifat, in the names and characteristics of Allah. However, here the Shaykh, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah has given the division of shirk into two types, that is major and minor shirk. He said, and now al-awwal, the first one is shirk akbar, which takes a person out of Islam, mukhrij an al-millah, takes a person out of Islam, he is no longer a Muslim. And it is what? He said, the definition of this shirk akbar, it is every shirk that the legislator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have applied the name of shirk to it. كل شرك أطلقه الشارع وهو مناف للتوحيد منافات مطلقة. Every type of shirk or every action that the legislator has given the name shirk to, and it negates the tawheed in absolute negation. And it absolutely negates the tawheed. This is what is called major shirk. Like the one who offers some type of ibadah to other than Allah, such as the one who prays to other than Allah, or the one who sacrifices to other than Allah, or the one who bows to other than Allah, or the one who supplicates to other than Allah. And all of these are acts of ibadah. Any act of ibadah that's given to other than Allah, this is shirk akbar. It takes a person out of Islam. Like the one who supplicates other than Allah, such as the one who supplicates the one who's buried in the grave, or the one who supplicates one who is absent, calling on him to save him from some matter that no one is capable of saving him from unless they are present. Yani somebody is drowning, and somebody actually can save them if they are there, but they are calling on somebody who is not present, asking them to save them from drowning. This is also shirk akbar. And the types of shirk are well known, and they have been written about in the books of the scholars. The second type of shirk is shirk al-asghar, a shirk al-asghar, minor shirk. And here he gives the definition, وَهُوَ كُلُّ عَمَلٍ قَوْلِي أَوْ فِعْلِي أَطْلَقَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّارِعِ وصف الشرك لكنه لا ينافي التوحيد منافات مطلقة. يعني every action, whether it is speech, يعني whether it is something you say or something you do, and the legislator has given it or applied to it the description of shirk, it has been called shirk. However, it does not negate the tawheed and absolute negation. يعني it doesn't negate the tawheed absolutely. Every type of action that has been given the description of shirk, however, it doesn't absolutely negate its tawheed. This is called, this is what is meant by a shirk al-asghar, minor shirk. Like al-halaf fi ghayrillah, like the one who swears by other than Allah. Like the one who swears by other than Allah. The one who swears by other than Allah, al-halaf, the one who actually makes the oath, swearing by other than Allah, but he doesn't believe that other than Allah is to be glorified with a glorification or exaltation equal to the glorification of Allah. Yani he swears by other than Allah, he swears upon something or someone other than Allah, but he doesn't believe that that thing is equal in glorification to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this one is a mushrik, shirk asghar. He is a mushrik, but it is minor shirk. However, if somebody swears by something other than Allah, believing that that thing is equal to Allah in glorification and exaltation, then this is shirk asghar. Then he says, and the likeness of this type of shirk, or an example of this type of shirk, he says, it is ar-riya, yani ostentation or showing off. And this is indeed dangerous. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning it in an authentic hadith, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَرِ, the thing that I fear most for you. And he was talking to Sahaba. What about the people afterwards? He said, the thing that I fear most for you, it is a shirk al-asghar, minor shirk. And he didn't fear major shirk for them. That was sahaba. But today we fear major shirk as well as minor shirk. He said, the thing that I fear most for you, it is minor shirk. فَسُئِلَ عَنْهُ, he was asked about it. فَقَالَ الرِّيَا, what is this minor shirk? He said, الرِّيَا, showing off. Yani doing something that is for the pleasure of Allah, but doing it for some other reason, for people to see you, to praise you, or to speak about you. And then the Shaykh says that this ar-riya, it might reach the level of being major shirk. It is possible, because a Shaykh, al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he has given the example of shirk. He has given the example of shirk asghar. And the example that he has given for shirk asghar, it is يَسِير الرِّيَا, يعني a little bit of riya, a little ostentation. He has given this as an example of minor shirk. And this indicates that if it is a lot of riya, If it is ongoing and continuous and always, then it might reach the level of becoming major shirk. Some of the scholars even have held the position that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 116, إِنَّ اللَّهِ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ, that Allah doesn't forgive, that shirk should be made with him. Some of the scholars held the opinion that this also, that this includes every type of shirk, whether, even if it is minor shirk. Therefore, it is obligatory on us to be warned from shirk absolutely. For indeed, the end of it is fatal and disastrous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 72, إِنَّهُ مَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And these are the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned on the tongue of Isa alayhi salam to Bani Israel. He said to them, إِنَّهُ مَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, that whoever it may be, who makes shirk with Allah, then Allah has made forbidden for him the Jannah. And his destination will be the fire. And there will be no one to help the Zalimeen. Here at Zalimeen, the scholars of Tafsir said the Mushrikeen. There will be no one to help the Zalimeen, the Mushrikeen. Therefore, if Jannah is prohibited upon a Mushrik, then this necessitates that he will remain in the fire forever. So whoever makes shirk with Allah, then he has indeed lost. In the next life, there's no doubt about it, because he will be in the hellfire forever, and he has also lost the dunya, this world, because the proofs have been presented against him, and the warner has come to him. However, he has lost out. He didn't benefit from this world in any way whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning this in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 15, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. And indeed, say, indeed, the khasirina, those who have lost, they are indeed those who have lost themselves and their families. They have lost themselves and their families on the day of resurrection. And indeed, this is al-khusran al-mubin. It is the manifest, clear loss. He has lost himself because he didn't benefit from himself in this world in any way. He has caused it to be thrown into the fire. And evil indeed is the one who is thrown in the fire, and the fire that they are thrown into. He has lost his family, because if they were of the believers, they would be in paradise, and he wouldn't enjoy them while he is in the fire. And if they are in the fire, then likewise he wouldn't enjoy them, because indeed every one of them who enter, they will curse, yani, his sister. Yani, everyone who enters the fire will curse those who follow them. Ash-shirk al-khafi. Yani, here some of the scholars also said that shirk is divided into major and minor shirk, and some of them said there is also inconspicuous shirk, shirk al-khafi. Yani, that which is hidden, or it is not detectable. And the Shaykh closes here with this final point about shirk al-khafi. Some of the scholars made shirk al-khafi under, yani, both major and minor shirk. It is possible that major shirk can be hidden, and minor shirk likewise, and some have made it as a separate division. In any case, the Shaykh, he says here, know that a shirk, it is khafi jiddan, it is very much hidden. Yani, there is some types of shirk that is undetectable. Indeed, Khalil al-Rahman wa Imam al-Hunafa. Khalil al-Rahman, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Rahman, and the Imam of the people who are righteous, who are inclined towards that which is right, al-Hunafa, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated from him, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَجَنُبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ. Yani, he said that, remember the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, O Allah, O my Lord, make this land safe and secure. وَجَنُبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ. And make me far removed, me and my children, from worshipping the idols. And he went on to say, although the Shaykh didn't quote the whole ayah, but it is important, he said, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَزَلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ, that indeed these idols, or these false gods, they have led astray many of the people. And indeed this is true, as we see today, that they have led astray many of the people. And therefore, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he knew the danger of a shirk al-khafi, the hidden shirk. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him and his children to be far removed from it. If it is Khalil al-Rahman, Imam al-Hunafa, the leader of al-Tawheed, and he is fearing a shirk, so what about you and I? Then the Shaykh said, consider the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dua of Ibrahim, وَجُنُوبَنِي وَجُنُوبَنِي. He didn't say, وَمْنَعَنِي. He didn't say, prohibit me from worshipping the idols. Because the meaning of وَجُنُوبَنِي, it means to put me on one side and to put the worship of the idols on another side. And this is much more effective or far-reaching in the meaning than saying, prohibit me from worshipping idols. Because if he is on one, in one place, and the worship of idols is in another place, then he is further away from it. Then he quotes the saying of Ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the Tabi'een. And he said, أَدْرَكْتُ 30 مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُلُّهُمْ يَخَافُ النِّفَاقُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. He said, I have met, or I have reached 30 of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of them are fearing nifaq for themselves. They are not fearing hypocrisy in others. They are fearing that they themselves could be hypocrites. That is Ashab al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I met 30 of them, all of them fearing that they might have fallen into nifaq. Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. This narration is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih. And he reported in the chapter, in the book of Iman, under the chapter, خوف المؤمن أن يحبط عمله وهو لا يشعر. The fear of the believer that his deeds would be destroyed and he wouldn't be aware of it. And that's how khafi or hidden is the shirk. The believer should fear this thing because it is hidden. He should fear that he might fall into it and his deeds would be destroyed. And he wouldn't even know it. He won't be aware of it. That's why they fear it. They fear it for themselves. Then he mentions the saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the great companion of the Prophet and the second Khalifa. He said to Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, Hudhayfa, the keeper of the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named every person who was in Medina at that time who was a munafiq. He told Hudhayfa every one of their names. He knew every one of them. He never announced to the people, but he told Hudhayfa. And Hudhayfa, he didn't used to pray over those who were munafiqeen. And some of the Sahaba who knew this, they used to watch to see who he prays over and who he doesn't pray over. He said that Umar al-Khattab said to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, أَنْشَدُكَ اللَّهُ هَلْ سَمَّانِي لَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا مَنْ سَمَّى مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. He said, I ask you in the name of Allah, did the Messenger of Allah name me amongst those who he named from amongst the hypocrites? And this is considering the fact that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he has given the good news of Al-Jannah to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He is of the Ashra, the Mubashirin of Al-Jannah. He is not even of the common Sahaba, but he is one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given him the good news that he is guaranteed paradise. And he said to Hudhayfa, am I amongst those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have named as being from the hypocrites, fearing and nifaq? Even though he was given the good news of paradise, but he feared that this might be due to what the Prophet ﷺ saw of his actions during his lifetime. But he didn't feel safe from an-nifaq. He said, no one feels safe from nifaq except a munafiq. And no one fears an-nifaq except a mu'min. Therefore it is obligatory on the slave, yani the servant of Allah, to be eager in seeking al-ikhlas, in seeking sincerity, yani the tawheed of the ibadah of Allah, worshipping Allah alone. And that he should strive against himself in this matter, yani to achieve al-ikhlas. He should make every effort to achieve al-ikhlas. Some of the salaf said, مَا جَهَدْتُ نَفْسِي عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَا جَهَدْتُهَا عَلَى الْإِخْلَاصِ. Yani that I have not striven or strove against myself, yani making jihad against my own self, in any matter, like I have striven against my own self to achieve al-ikhlas. The matter is difficult. فالشرك أمره صعب جدا ليس بهين. The Shaykh closes with the statement that indeed shirk, it is a very difficult matter. It is not a light matter. لكن الله ييسر الإخلاص على العبد. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who facilitates al-ikhlas for His servant. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives the tawfiq to His servant. وذلك بأن يجعل الله نصب عينيه. And that is that the servant, the slave, he should make Allah the one that his eyes is turned towards. Yani that he gives his full attention to Allah alone. It is the only way that the person gives himself over totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give them the tawfiq of having ikhlas. He has to turn his full direction and his attention totally to Allah alone, and he has to intend by his actions the face of Allah. This is the end of what the Shaykh has said, and I just want to close with the dua as reported in Sahih, and the Prophet ﷺ used to say it, and a Muslim who knows the danger of a shirk, and especially a shirk al-khafi, and the example that has been given to us by the Imam of al-Tawheed, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam, of fearing a shirk, then we should supplicate with this supplication that the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate with, and he told it to his companions, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you, that I make shirk with you while I know. Yani falling into shirk knowingly. I seek refuge in Allah from that, to fall into shirk knowingly. However, the shirk that you don't know about, nobody maybe can be protected from such. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. And I seek refuge, or I seek forgiveness from you for that which I don't know. Yani the shirk that is known, I seek refuge in you to protect me from falling into known shirk. And I seek forgiveness from you for that which is unknown, for the shirk that anyone may fall into. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This is the end of the first principle. If there are any comments or questions or corrections from what has been said, perhaps we can take 2 or 3 minutes, and we should stop inshaAllah after that, so that we can tend to the salah in the masjid. Especially if there's any need for clarification from something that I have said. Yani our topic today is a little longer than maybe the future principles. For that reason, I was going a little quickly. So perhaps, and if something has been left unclear, you may ask about it. Naam. Tayyib. Then the questions that we have given in the handout, if anyone has not gotten a copy of this, then we'll try to provide it. The machine stopped working. The first question is, mention the title of the book under study in this course and its subject. What is the title of this book? Naam? Six principles. Al-Usul al-Sitta. And what is this subject? And what is the Usul al-Sitta? What is it dealing with? Naam? Naam, Umar? Yes. Six fundamentals. Which fundamentals? What are they? What are they dealing with? And they are dealing with aqeedah, and some of them are also dealing with other matters related to the methodology that the Muslim should follow in this world. Yani, what is our relationship to the rulers over us, how we should hear and obey them, or the scholars and the people of knowledge, who are they and who are not, and so on. Naam. The second question is, mention the author's name, date of birth and death, and something of his life and work. Does anybody remember his name? Naam. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, huh? Al-Tamimi al-Najmi. Naam. When was he born? 1115 and died? 1206. Just briefly, something about his life or his work. Yani in general, something about his life in general. Huh? He came from a family of scholars. Huh? His main mission, it was opposing shirk, establishing tawheed, and establishing the sunnah. Naam, Umar. He used to write down the beneficial things in his reading and in his research. And this is also what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said to us in the advice that we read last week, that when you are studying, you should write down the important things that you are coming across for future benefit. Now, he called people to the Dawah Salafiyah. Dawah Salafiyah, it is the Dawah of the first generation of the Muslims. Yani the Quran and Sunnah, establishing a Tawheed and opposing a Shirk and establishing the Sunnah and opposing the Bid'ah. Naam, the way of the Sahaba. And he made Jihad also. Naam. His father was amazed at his memorization. Mention the first principle and its importance in Islam. Yani, what is the first principle that we have dealt with, and what is its importance? Al-Ikhlas. Al-Ikhlas. Naam. Ikhlas al-Deen, meaning the Tawheed of Ibadah. Yani, the Tawheed of uluhiyya or tawheed of ubudiyya. Yani establishing the worship for Allah alone and the clarification of its opposite, that is a shirk. Naam. What is its importance? What is the importance of this principle? Naam. Naam. Is a guide for in worship, naam. Is the key to paradise, naam. Is the purpose for which we have been created, naam. The wisdom or the hikmah for which we were created. And it is of the utmost importance. It is the most important thing. It is the most obligatory of all obligations, tawheed. It is the thing for which the Prophet, the thing with which they were sent. And the purpose for which revelation was given. And the object of our creation. Is the most important of things. Which type of tawheed is referred to in the word ikhlas ad-deen for Allah? Which type of tawheed? Yani we said that tawheed is of different types. Here Shaykh Muhammad al-Salih al-Taymeen, he said he mentioned two types, major shirk and minor shirk. However, major shirk and minor shirk, tawheed we said, it is divided into three categories. Tawheed and rububiyyah, tawheed and uluhiyyah, and tawheed and asma wa sifat. Which type of tawheed does the author intend here? Al-uluhiyya or ubudiyya. Tawheed of worship, making the worship for Allah alone. However, every type of tawheed is obligatory in the Muslim to observe. How can one achieve this ikhlas of ad-deen for Allah alone? What is the step that the Imam, that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentioned for achieving this ikhlas in deen? That the believer should be mukhlis in what? In first. Huh? Naam? Proper understanding, naam. But the Shaykh, he gave some specific points. That he should be mukhlis in his qasd, in his niyyah. That is the first way to achieve this ikhlas in deen. It is that you have to be sincere in your intention that it is for Allah alone. The second of them is ikhlas in mahabbah, in your love of Allah. You have to be sincere. You have to make your love purely for Allah alone. Whoever loves Allah alone, he will obey him. He will obey him if he loves him. Naam. Because if you love someone, you will obey them. As the Prophet ﷺ said, as is reported in the Quran, Allah told him, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you really love Allah, then obey me, the one who He has sent you and ordered you to obey. Naam. And the third of them, he said, إِخْلَاصٍ تَعَظِيم. In ta'azim, in exaltation of Allah. Making the exaltation and the ta'azim purely for Allah alone. Because whoever exalts Allah in the way he should be exalted, they would never disobey him. It is the way to avoid disobedience. Therefore, the one who makes his intention purely for Allah, and his love for Allah, and the ta'azim of Allah, then this is the one who can achieve the ikhlas of deen. And likewise, the Shaykh said, this should be outwardly and inwardly. Explain how shaitan has deceived many of the people in reference to this first fundamental. And what did the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, what did he say concerning shaitan when the Muslims reached that state where they were far away in understanding and implementation of the deen? What did shaitan do? How did he deceive the people? Not worshipping the saints is like belittling them or lowering their status and not giving them their full rights. Naam. And what? Huh? تَنَقُّصْ الصَّالِحِينَ وَتَقْصِيرْ فِي حُقُوقِهِمْ. He said that whoever worships Allah alone, he said that ikhlas or tawheed and ibadah, he made it appear to them as though this is lowering the status of the saints and the awliya. If you worship Allah alone, it's as though you don't care about the awliya and the salihin. And he also made that is how he made ikhlas. And he made shirk appear to them as what? Huh? As love of the, he said that the shirk, he made it appear to them as though if you do shirk, it shows that you really love the salihin. And if you call on them and rely upon them and sacrifice for them, it means you have mahabba for the salihin. Means he made it appear as though shirk, it is loving the righteous. That's why they will argue with you if you don't participate in this shirk. They will say, this one he doesn't love the awliya of Allah. Because shaitan has deceived the people in this way. Define a shirk in its division. What is shirk and what are its divisions? And in the divisions of shirk, the Shaykh mentioned two. He said what? Major and minor shirk. And how did he define, how do we define a basic definition of shirk? Associating partners with Allah, meaning offering any type of worship, whatever type of worship. If it is given to other than Allah, that is major shirk. And minor shirk? Naam, it is that which negates Tawheed in the absolute sense. And as for minor shirk, it is those things or actions which have been described as shirk in the Quran or in the Sunnah. However, they don't negate or nullify Tawheed in the absolute sense. Naam. And some of the scholars said that minor shirk are those actions or deeds which don't nullify Tawheed, but they are the means that lead to major shirk. Give some examples of different types of shirk in closing. What are some examples? We should be giving a lot of examples of shirk. All types, we know so much of it now. Huh? Showing off, ostentation is minor shirk. Huh? Swearing by other than Allah. Making oaths in the name of other than Allah. Naam. What about the common shirk that we see in these lands today? Naam? Naam, it is also shirk in speech, saying that, yani about that something that has passed, saying if I didn't go out today, this wouldn't have happened to me. That means that you did not accept what has happened, and it is the qadr of Allah. So it couldn't have been any way except the way Allah has decreed it. Naam. But what about the open common shirk that is obvious? Huh? Or participating in the ceremonies of the yani it could be. It depends on what way the person participates in. No doubt that participating in any way is haram. But as for shirk, it depends on what the person has done. Hidden shirk is one of the categories of shirk. Naam, shirk al-khafi. But what did we say? We said hidden shirk. What is it? Calling on other than Allah. This is very common, isn't it? In India and Pakistan and Sudan and so many countries. In Africa, huh? Also in the Philippines. Calling on other than Allah. Naam. I didn't hear the first part. Keep a necklace. Thinking that it will give you good luck. Yani wearing something, chain or bracelet or necklace or something, or amulet, yani tamima. Thinking that thing will give you good luck, thinking that it will protect you from harm or bring some good to you. This is definitely shirk. It is definitely shirk. And it depends, as we discussed in detail, if the person believes that thing in and of itself has some power, that is major shirk. But if they think that it is a means that through which some good can come to them, not that it has power in and of itself, then it is minor shirk. But it is still shirk because Allah has not legislated and made it as a means. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anybody will see their family on the other side now or later, please, this tape recorder belongs to the sisters. We need to get it to the sisters somehow. Somebody please take the responsibility of getting it to the sisters. Jazakallah khair. You brought it, so